I don't know about you. I get excited. I've been excited these last couple of Sundays. I was excited to hear Adele's testimony. I'm excited to be here. I'm not quite sure what's going on inside of me, but I've gotten excited even during this this sermon series. And I was talking to Anthony. It might be because Anthony and I were doing a fast called the Daniel fast, where you can't eat meat and sugar and all that kind of stuff. But on Sundays, you don't have to do it. So maybe that's just what it is. I'm just so happy that it is Sunday, 12:01 in our house in the morning. You hear all this kind of stuff going on. I'm just so excited, but it's understanding of that grace that in the midst of everything, God's like rest and joy as well. And we've been going through this series that we've entitled Rediscover. And we're looking at a book, Discover. If you have those books, if you need a book, let us know. Which systematically looks at some of the foundations of our faith. The books have sections entitled Understanding the Gospel of Grace, Growing in Grace, and Living by Grace in the Real World. And with these titles, it's obvious that there is a thread that goes through this whole book. And it's the understanding of grace. And if we miss that understanding, I think we'll miss a lot of what the book is trying to show us. We'll miss a lot about not just the book, we'll miss what God is trying to instill in us. That it's all his grace. And we talked about grace being unmerited favor, something that you did not deserve, but it's just a gift that's been given to you. And so we've looked at an understanding of the gospel of grace and our understanding of our conversion experience, the understanding of salvation, looked at it as our new position in Christ and the understanding of baptism. And so all these things have seen this understanding of the gospel of grace, this understanding of grace being in a part, really all of all those different aspects. And then last week, we looked at what does it mean to grow, to start growing in this grace. We looked at the understanding of the Holy Spirit being in that, the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been freely given to us, that we can live and act and know what God would have us to do, be empowered with the same power that rose Christ from the dead is now inside of us. And so today we are at another chapter of the book that we're going to look at, and it's called Intimacy with God, The Discipline of Devotion. The Discipline of Devotion and understanding, hopefully, grace in that. But before we get started looking in more into it, can we just have a moment of prayer? Father God, Lord, we come before you eager to hear what it is that you have to say to us this morning. Lord, we need a word. Lord, and we know that your word does not come back void, that your word can inspire, Father God, and can encourage us to continue to push forward and do the things that you've called us to do. And so, Lord, anything that's inside of us that can be blocking your word from penetrating our minds and our hearts, we ask that you would take it out. Any thoughts that we have that are outside of what we need to think of right now, and that is just being with you, would you remove it? That we may not only hear your word, but we may be transformed and invigorated by it. So, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to say. Anything that's inside of me that's not of you, ask that you would take out, that only your words would come out, Lord, and that you would be glorified. And we state these things in Jesus' name as we say, amen. So, like I said, we're looking at this understanding of the discipline of devotion. And when they say discipline of devotion, what they mean for devotion is scripture reading. So the discipline of scripture reading. And so I just wanted to take a gauge. I'm going to try to write. My handwriting is not well. I do not know how to spell that well. It's sad, but it is true. A couple different questions as we start this morning. When you hear the word discipline, what definitions and feelings come to mind? And if anyone wants to write for me, that is quite okay. But what definitions and feelings come to mind when you hear the word discipline? Thanks. Correction. Correction. Disciple. Following orders.
Hard work.
Hard work.
Like disciple, hard work, following orders.
Following orders. Any other definitions or feelings? You said what?
Training.
Safety. Interesting. Safety. Go ahead. Lessons.
Rules.
So safety is a interesting word. Not an interesting word. It's a good word. And training, disciple. Do those, so when you hear the word discipline, does it make you feel happy? Or does it bring some kind of other emotion? You say what? Discomfort. Some feelings are discomfort. What about anybody else? Does it make you feel happy? Confusion? Makes you feel confused? There is reward. I don't feel the reward, but there is reward. Delayed reward. All right. So we have this understanding of discipline. When you think of scripture reading, what feelings come to mind? What feelings come to mind when you think of scripture reading? Reading your Bible. It's okay. It's a safe place. Guilt from the days you forgot? It's a safe place. You can say what you really feel. Peace. Delight. Challenging.
Boring.
Understanding. You said boring, challenging, and understanding.
Can I say that? Boring?
You can say boring if that's how you feel. That's,
I can say guilt. You can say boring.
That's right.
Connected.
Connectedness.
Learning.
Understanding.
Dutiful.
Okay. As far as I know, it is a word. A lot of opinions about scripture. And so it's interesting. I'm glad I'm in your presence. Because when I think of scripture reading, sometimes it's not as happy as some of these words come up here. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. It feels taxing. It feels like a chore that I'm supposed to do. But then I see this word devotion. And they use the word devotion as scripture reading. And so the word devotion, when I looked it up, is actually have a couple of things. It says religious fervor, an act of prayer or private worship. And so I can understand that. And then the second one said love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Enthusiasm. And so they're using the word enthusiasm and love for scripture reading. And so I said, well, maybe I need to do get a better understanding. Because when I think of scripture reading, a lot of times I think of it as a chore. I would love to say I read it all the time and I'm so excited, but there are times I'm like, oh, I have to read. And it feels like it's something else I'm supposed to do, and it kind of weighs me down, and I feel bad if I don't do it, and how much am I supposed to read, and how long am I supposed to read, and what's going on, and sometimes it's just a whole bunch of words, but I know that in the Word of God that having it be a chore or having it be something that you just do just to get through it, God does not like that. God is not pleased with that kind of heart. When it comes to doing things, he wants your heart to be one of joy when you come to spend time with him. And so this understanding of grace has to be over this. And so I said, because grace is something that's an unmerited favor, I'm excited about grace, and this thing is inside of grace, then let me look at some scriptures, figure out how grace and scripture reading all work together. That hopefully by the end, I will have joy. I will feel the same way I do on Sunday mornings because I can eat different things. I will just be excited to read the Word of God. And so I want us to look at 2 Timothy We can open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in this, Paul is talking, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and he's trying to encourage him on how to live and lead in the midst of a time when some people don't want to hear the word of God, and others are trying to speak out against it. It's during this time that Paul writes this letter to Timothy. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 12 and 13, it says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." And he said, so listen, this is the environment you're going to be in. You have evildoers going around trying to deceive other people, trying to get people from the faith. They're trying to deceive, they're trying to have them follow them. This is the environment you are going to be in. And so he's trying to encourage, he's trying to let Timothy know what the environment is, but then also trying to encourage him on what he is to do in this environment. And so if you're in your pew Bibles on page 1028, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 12 and 13, and then he goes on to encourage Timothy and starting in verse 14. And he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so we're going to sit here, and we're going to look really much, pretty much at verse 16 and 17. And the first thing I want us to look at is all Scripture is God-breathed. This understanding of breathe is also sometimes the root word is used in the understanding of spirit. And so the understanding is that it's not Scripture, it's not just something that someone else made up. This comes from God. God himself inspired writers to write certain things, inspired writers to say certain things that people wrote down so that we could have an understanding. It's not from me just coming up with an idea, it's from God himself, the creator of heaven and earth. It's his word that comes forth. And I love in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed a work in you who believe." It is the word of God, the one who created all things, the one who put things into place and told the heavens where they're supposed to go, the moon and stars, and gave them their place. This is who this word is coming from. It's not just by happenstance. And I don't know about you, but that kind of brings me a little bit of comfort, because it's not just someone making it up as they go along, or the populace saying, this is what we're going to believe in today, and it changes. It's not made up by a fickle community. This is made up by God. This is inspired and breathed and stated by God. It makes me feel a little comfortable, because I know there are times, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this, but in my family, my kids sometimes will ask me questions like, "Daddy, why did this person do this?" And I'm like, "Well, maybe it's because, you know, they felt bad about not having a car." And he was like, "Well, why don't they have a car?" I was like, "Well, maybe they can't afford a car." Why can't they afford a car, Daddy? What kind of job do they have?" And I started thinking to myself, "Oh, what I said as a thought, you're taking as literal." And so all of a sudden, I just stopped saying, "But oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know." But it's like you start saying something, just a random thought, and then all of a sudden, it becomes law. And so I'm glad that it's not based on me and my random thoughts that make this true. It's based on God, right? It's not based on what Dalen thinks. It's not based on what Allie thinks it's not based on what anyone else thinks around. It's based on what God has said. It is God breathed. It has gravitas. It is firm. We can step on it and know that it's not going to shake. The one who made all things spoke these things into existence. The Creator. You know, it's funny. A lot of times we don't want to open up instruction manuals, but the person who actually made the object is the one speaking to you about how this object is made and what it's used for. So the first thing that we can be excited about is that this is coming from God, not from any weird idea that's going to change tomorrow. This is bedrock word from the Creator. The second thing is that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see, it's useful for developing people and society. It's God-given instructions that explains not only how things are made, but what they are used for, and also how we're supposed to engage in these things that He made. It speaks to how we are to engage the environment, society, personal relationships. It speaks to the hierarchy of needs of people, as well as the spiritual realm and how it influences the natural world. Think about that. It's instructions. He's saying, listen, I made the ground this way. You can go and find farmers and talk to them about how they crop land. God says, I want you to plant on this land 6 years, 7th year, let it go and let it get rest and all sort of kind of stuff. People will do that, and the harvest will grow, and it'll grow plentiful because they're following the laws that God had already said. He put it in place. He said, I created this land. This is how you use it. I created the air. This is what it's going to be used for. I created this earth. I created everything in here. This is how you're supposed to engage it. God has given us the instructions in here. He tells us how we're supposed to interact with our society, how we're supposed to interact with each other, personal relationships. If you want to know what it means to be married and how to interact as a married couple, it tells you. You want to know how to interact as a parent, it tells you. You want to know how to interact as an individual, it tells you. It tells you everything. He's saying, I set these things in place. I'm going to show you how to live in the environment I created. I'm going to tell you everything. It's not just instructions, it's a handbook that tells what the rules in His kingdoms are and the consequences for violating them. You see, God put things in place and we all have to deal with it. I was talking to JT, I want to say last week, and he's going through the Old Testament. He's reading about how even the people who didn't believe in God were subject to whatever God's rules were. They might not have to believe in Him, but he said, this is the time y'all gonna be wiped out because y'all didn't do what you're supposed to do under my law. They didn't have to know Him. His rules still apply. He's the one who sets the boundaries of how things, He's the one who sets the boundaries that we're supposed to understand justice off of. He creates the standard for what it is. That's who is giving us this word, so that we can learn, so that we can rebuke, so we understand when we're doing wrong, it's not based on how I feel about what I'm doing. He said, this is wrong and this is right. He gives you the standard for you to live your life and to judge rightly what's going on with yourself and others around you. He gives us the manual to show how to develop us as a person. I remember a few weeks ago, we asked the question, what is grace? And Brother Greg said, grace is life. He said, grace is life. This word of God, he's saying, this is life. This is what's going to help you grow and give you purpose. to give you a vision of where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. This is life. I've given you the instruction manual. Are you going to read it? I don't know about you, but as a youth, I used to play video games a lot. I don't play anymore. I shouldn't get back to it. But I used to play video games a lot. My son wants to play video games, and I used to always play video games. And you know, they have a manual for you, right? When you open it up, tell you how to play and different things. But I don't want to read that. I just want to go ahead and do it. And I would go and just play, and I'd keep on dying. I was like, why am I dying? And someone would come and be like, Dwayne, well, it says right here, if you do this, then you won't die. And I was like, oh, well, let me go back and maybe read this instruction manual. Not really, just enough to go back and play and keep on doing it. And I can see it in my son. My son tells me all the time, I got this, I got this. When I'm telling him what to do, okay, daddy, I got this, I got this. I didn't finish telling him what to do yet, but he's already got it. And he wants to do it. And God is saying, no, I've given you a manual. So you don't have to say, I got this, I got this. I'm going to explain to you exactly what you're supposed to do. And this is the most beautiful part. Is that so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work? It's for you. He didn't give you the word of God for himself. He gave it for you so that you can grow, that you can be prosperous. I love in Joshua 1:8, keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Listen. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Psalm 1, 2, and 3, but those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is for you so that you can prosper. The reason why I love this so much is at the end, he says, the servant may thoroughly be equipped for every good work, because he doesn't just leave it out there. Just read the word. He gives you the reason for it. I don't know about you, but I think this is the problem I used to have with school. When I'd be in school, I didn't like school that much. And I remember thinking about how they want you to learn how to diagram a sentence. Right? And I was like, what is the purpose of this diagramming a sentence? What's the purpose of some of this ELA? It probably would have helped me now to be able to spell and everything, but what was the purpose? I never understood the purpose. They never gave me the point of this. I felt like it was arbitrary. You're just asking me to read just to do it because you want me to have extra homework. That's how I felt. You just want me to do stuff. You want me to think about your class in the morning and at night. That's the reason why you're asking me to do this. There was no purpose behind it. God is saying the purpose is for you. So that you can be prosperous, so that you can succeed, because you can feel the fullness of life. The reason why I'm giving you this word is for you. It's not for me, it's for you. The grace of God is saying, I want you to win. I want you to make it out. I want you to be able to do what you have been called on this earth to do. It's for you. You don't have to read and you can still be a child of God, but you're going to miss out. You're going to go through this life struggling and worried and frustrated for things that you don't need to be worried and frustrated about because you have no idea what he wants you to do. My daughter said she wants to fast because she sees us fasting. And I was like, all right, whatever. But I was, because she says, I want to fast because I want to know what God wants me to do. And Martin was like, you don't need to fast. You need to get into this word. Read the word of God. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. He's going to build you up. He's going to do it. And he's going to do it in ways that you don't even understand. Sometimes you don't understand what the word means. It's still working inside of you. There's a story of a guy who said, I've been to church 1,000 times, heard 1,000 sermons. I don't remember any of them. So what was the point of it? The next guy comes up to me and says, I went to 1,000 restaurants, ate a whole bunch of things. I don't remember any of the menus, but it nourished me in the midst. Sometimes just reading, you may not know what, why, but he's saying, he's giving you the purpose because it's going to develop you. Even if you don't fully understand right now, it's going to develop you and it's going to make you prosperous. This is for you. So when you open up that Bible, realize, oh, God has given me something for, God has given me instruction. He's given me a manual. He's given me the purpose. He's allowing me to grow. He loves me so much. He wants me to grow and be all that I'm called to be. God is giving you his word. And so the discipline is for our benefit. You know, I feel like many of us are struggling through life while the whole time God is saying, this is the open book test. Just open the book. I love the open book tests. The answers are right here. It's not hard. I'm not making this hard for you. I want you to thrive. That's what God wants for you. To prosper, to thrive, to show off, to throw off the shackles of this world, to live free, and to experience the joy of being able to get up on Sunday and be able to eat. Experience the joy of being able to walk and know that you are walking in purpose. To be able to experience the joy to know that your life matters. To experience the joy of being able to say, I know why I am here, and I don't need anyone else to tell me anything else, because I can live the way God has called me to live and experience the fullness of life, to be able to smile and laugh and enjoy life. God wants you to know. He wants you to experience. And he wants you to thrive. When we think of God's grace and what he wants for us, it's not necessarily a discipline. It's a discipline where you have to do it. But we should come to it thinking, this is God gifting me something that's going to change my life for the better. So let's read. Let's get into it. And let's be amazed by how he transforms our lives through his word. May we all pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you so much how each and every moment, each and everything that we start thinking about that you have given us is marvelous and is for our good. Lord, and we are eternally grateful. We are thankful that you didn't leave us out here to try to go through this world on our own, but you equipped us with the Holy Spirit through the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You equipped us with your word. You equipped us with people. So that this time on earth won't be all frustrating, but we'll be able to live and thrive in your grace and in your peace and in your joy. Both now, and we will get a taste of heaven right now on earth. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We state these things in Jesus' name as we say, amen.